And hello. We are in our class, So You're Scared of the Devil and Worried About the End Times. And we've been going through different angles with different scriptures. And tonight we're going to be actually using some of the same, a few of the same scriptures that we used before, except we're going to hit them from a different angle. And so the basic subtitle for tonight, or at least the first part of tonight's, is head-to-head confrontations in the war. Okay? So, my example number one is Mark, Book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 2 through 9. And this, again, we talked about this, I think, last week, but we're going to hit it from a different angle. Deals with Legion, the guy full of demons. All right. And so when you read this, read it like you always do, and then I'll try to explain some things. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." All right, so this story scares people, you know, and it's like, oh man, this is some big stuff here. This isn't little things anymore. So let's look at a couple of those things. This legion of demons hangs out in the graveyard. Okay. He's strong enough even to break chains. Okay. He's always cutting himself. Everyone is afraid of Legion. All right. But, first of all, when Jesus came up, he saw Jesus as the tormentor. Think of that. He saw Jesus as the tormentor. He wasn't like, "I'll torment you too." It was like, "Don't torment me." Jesus isn't a tormentor, but see, he's like, just you being around makes me, you know. He also cut nobody but himself. He didn't cut anybody else. I mean, we read this and we go, "Well, he'll come get me." "He'll come cut me," or something like that. And there is absolutely no reference to him hurting anybody. I mean, you know, "What, but he dwells in the tombs. He doesn't hurt anybody." "Well, we chain him up and he keeps getting loose." He doesn't get loose and go hurt anybody. Do you see what I mean? Where there's so much that we're just like, you know, it's like there's just fear in us about the thought of these things. And if you read the story carefully, you find out it's not near as scary as what our minds are making it. And then, of course, ultimately, when he showed up, he worshiped Jesus. Okay, he worshiped Jesus. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do y'all have Jesus in you? Okay, so... all right. So think about that. All right. Let's talk about next example that I have. And like I said, you know, someone says, well, I'm scared of the devil. So let's see this with Paul. Let's see a situation with Paul. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. I mean, he's so mean, the devil. He hindered. is that really it? Is that the great power of the devil? He hindered us. I could have come, but he hindered me. Okay. I thought this was a war going on. We're taught in Christianity that we're at war with the devil and his angels and the demon, all of this stuff. We're at war, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And so the devil comes along and goes, I'm going to mess with Paul. I'm going to make it where he can't come right away, because he does eventually come. Come on, is that all you got, buddy? I mean, I'm just, you know, having been raised in Oak Cliff, I'm looking for something here that's going to, like, you know, really, really make you go, I don't know. All right? Satan doesn't kill them. Talking about Paul and his, Satan doesn't kill them. He doesn't terrorize them. He just does something to hinder the trip. I put pretty vicious devil there. And he's so powerful. All right, example three. This is Luke 22, Gospel of Luke, verse 22, and we'll read first verse 2 through 4. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, talking about Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas. Satan into Judas. You get it? Not demon-possessed, Satan in there, okay? Surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. All right, now drop down to verse 47. So this is the, what we're talking about here is head-to-head confrontations, okay? So here is another one. Jesus had a head-to-head confrontation with Legion, right? The other example that we use. And so here we have Jesus and Judas, but we have Jesus, the Son of God, on the inside of him, and we have Satan. So it's like these two facing one another. Okay. Verse 47 of Luke 22. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? All right. Judas has Satan in him. Satan. You know the one? Satan. He's got Satan in him, and Satan in Judas, whether it was Judas or Satan's idea, all they did was come up and kiss Jesus. So I wrote, in verse 2 through 4, the regular beasts are trying to figure out, meaning the chief priest and all those guys. The regular beasts are trying to figure out a plan to get rid of Jesus. Okay? We got to come up with a plan. But then the big boys join the team, Satan and Judas, right? The big boys, the big boy. These guys are betting 1,000, right? Then something begins to form up. These are the pros, Judas and Satan. They're the pros, you know. These are not rookies. Then in verse 47 through 48, all Satan and Judas can do is kiss Jesus. All the big beast can do has no power, but that of betrayal and the lies that others told the priest about Jesus. Okay? All right. Well, that's not good. You say, well, because Jesus was betrayed and he died. Well, that was written in the Bible thousands of years before. Jesus knew he was going to come down to this earth and die on a cross. That's the plan of God. That the devil thought that this is it. I'm going to destroy the Son of God. I'm going to win the victory over God. Finally, I shall be as God and sit, you know, on his throne and all that kind of stuff. And so he thinks, you know, he's actually falling into the hands of God instead of the other way around. So, so betrayal, turned aside, Satan and Judas face to face with Jesus. The biggest power that he has is the power of deception. Okay? And that's important to remember. If you're not susceptible to the devil, well, you know, and if you're not motivated primarily by your flesh, because that's where the deception comes, and he comes up and, you know, holds out the bait to your flesh, and then you take it and run, then you have absolutely nothing to worry about. But anyway, that's the other part, the other side of that coin is, if you have Christ in you that wants to give his life, then all he can do, I mean, the worst, or let's say the best victory that Satan ever had was to kill Jesus. The best victory that God ever had was to let Satan kill Jesus. All right. So now I want to go a little longer tonight, if I may. And if you're on Skype and you're sick of me, go ahead and turn it off. But I want to go a little bit longer. I want to talk about wars. And I want to now go into the book of Revelation. And I want us to discuss the wars that are in the book of Revelation, okay? And this is going to be a real eye-opener. This one's going to be, as we get through these wars, this is going to be a real eye-opener, all right? So example number one is Revelation 12. And let's face it, the way we read the book of Revelation, I mean, it's just all chaos and madness and the devil winning everything and, you know, having all this power and stuff, and somehow Jesus in the end comes through. But what I want to do is I want us to look at the book of Revelation and see some things in these wars that maybe we never saw. All right, Revelation 12, starting with verse 7, and we'll read through verse 7 to 14. And there was war in heaven. Okay, my God. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, meaning the fallen angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Because even in our comprehension of what we think the book of Revelation does and all of his victories, we're deceived. And I'll tell you this too. Even in the fact that he appears as a great red dragon, like as if he grew from being this serpent in the garden to this great red dragon, it's a deception. It's a deception. But we're not ready for all that quite yet. All right. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Okay, so Kelly can explain that last verse there, verse 14. Let me go ahead and read verse 15 with this, because there's several different things going on here. Still Revelation 12, 15. And the serpent cast out his mouth and water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth and upset with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. So the first war was in heaven. It wasn't with you. All right. And everything that we read here is similar to Legion or some other story where we're filled with some sort of a concept of the great power they have. And we see that, you know, the devil can cast, you know, this great flood out of his mouth, and he's got all these angels that can fight and all this stuff. So let me just read some of these notes. The first war was in heaven, not with you. The devil lost, right? The devil lost this war, the first one. The devil lost against angels. This wasn't even spirit-filled believers, or this wasn't even God. This was just angels, other angels said, and it's against the dragon. Was defeated by, come on, somebody needs to really understand that's all it took, was just some angels, you know, it's not like God didn't even say, okay, you know, we're going to marshal our forces here. He said, angels, go take care of the devils, you know, go deal with him. All right. So God wasn't even fighting in this war. Cause we're always saying, well, this is war between God and Satan. God's sitting on the throne going, yeah, let's make it between angels. Let's just see how this goes. The great dragon deceives the world. He accuses those that are of God. And when you're connecting verses 10 and 11, they say that they overcame the accusations by the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. So the devil is full of wrath. Why? Because he got defeated. He doesn't like to lose. You ever seen anybody like that? Well, the Cowboys need to always win. No, I really root a lot for other teams to beat my team because they're so full of pride. I just go, take them down. I do. You know? Honestly, I'll be on the side of the team that, you know, doesn't have to, yeah, we're the greatest, you know. Shut up. Anyway, so the devil is full of wrath. Why? Because he lost the war and he got cast out of heaven. Okay? Because he had no longer had any power in heaven. Well, that really wasn't it. That wasn't what happened. No. Because he's upset because he knows his time is short. Okay? He knows this isn't going to last forever. He knows this isn't going to last forever. He's a loser and he knows it, if you will. You understand? Because he did lose the war. Okay? With so much pride, that makes him mad. Because it would. You know? I mean, I've seen really powerful powerful football teams go up against, you know, weak ones that just were, hadn't even won any games that year. And that weak team beat them. And they're just like, oh, and it's just like the worst thing in the world. Really? You know, this is the worst thing in your life. All right. So beginning with verse 13, when he knew his time was short, he quit accusing the brethren and started persecuting the woman who was bringing forth the seed. Okay. Well, first of all, he's accusing the brethren. Okay. But then, you know, he decides to go pick on a woman. I mean, he does. And she's only going to bring forth a baby. I mean, seed, if you will. Right? It's not like that's that football team. She's that football team. She doesn't have any weapons. You know, this great red dragon is there to catch the baby and devour it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm pretty sure I've got some of the things that go with that. she gets wings and gets to go surfing. Windsurfing. The dragon doesn't seem that smart to breathe out a flood towards someone who can fly, because, I mean, she's actually carried by God, not herself. Okay? It's not a great victory, but it defeats the devil. I want you to see that. We're all looking for more power, and this thing's in God's hand, and it really isn't that hard for God. He's just going, okay, you know, got the dragon there, the great, the red dragon there. And let's see. How did I put it? The dragon doesn't seem that smart to breathe out a flood towards someone who can fly. But even with that, the earth saves the woman from the dragon. The earth, good old Mother Earth, outsmarts a vicious red dragon. Read it. It seems to me that we believers have more means of escape than the devil has attacks, and ours don't have to be all that powerful. I remember when I was reading this and I thought, that's really amazing, because this is basically a head-to-head battle between God and the great red dragon, and he doesn't even, you know, She gets wings and gets to fly away, and the earth opens up and, you know, swallows the flood. I mean, to me, it was just like, there's really not a lot to this. There's not a big struggle. There's war, but it's not, it's almost like God's not taking it too seriously. You know? All right. I'm going to go with another one. I think this one looks like it's pretty long. Maybe I should stop. All right. So the next example I'm going to use is out of Revelation 17. And it starts in verse 7 through 18. And this one's war with Babylon, the Babylon Confederate. Okay? So Babylon, right? We're afraid of the devil. We're afraid of Babylon. Oh, you know, flee Babylon and don't receive the mark and all that kind of stuff, right? So this is going to be another war. And we're going to talk about it next time. All right? I would go on, but this one's really kind of long. Father, we thank you for helping us to be released from religion and from concepts and ideas and fears and things that you really, in your scriptures and in these wars, you're going to open our eyes over and over and over again to victories that really are not, it's just almost nothing to you. And you don't even make a big deal out of it. But to the devil, you can see it's everything. He is so full of pride in himself. But Father, you've always said, if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you're going to be brought down. Father, help us to learn simple lessons simple lessons such as not exalting ourselves, simple lessons as exalting you, giving you all the glory, never taking your glory as if we did it. We ask you to do that in us by that sweet nature of Christ, the Lamb of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.